From Matthew 25, 31 through 46. Jesus says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they will also answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." The scripture reminds us of our call as Christians to serve others. As we're told in this kind of parable that Jesus tells his followers, as followers of Christ, we are to be people who feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the needy, welcome the stranger, care for the sick, and visit the prisoner. This is important. We're indeed called as Christians to do these things. And as we see in the scripture, the ending is not very good for the people who don't do these things. But to be honest, I don't think we really need to spend a lot of time talking about this. There's not much to unpack. I can just tell you this: as a follower of Christ, you should care about those that are in need. You should seek to serve the hungry and the thirsty, to welcome the stranger, to clothe the needy, to care for the sick, and visit the prisoner. Just do those things. So instead, I think there's something more that's going on in this scripture that we could talk about. And that's this: neither of these groups, not the one who's doing all the serving of the needy or the one who's not doing any of it, neither of those groups is recognizing Jesus among those in need. Just go back to the scripture again. The king, who's representing Jesus in this parable, says to those on his right that he was hungry and they fed him, and thirsty and they gave him drink, and all those other things. And what do they reply with? They say, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? Or, and when was it we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And then the king tells them that when they did all those things to the least among them, it was like that they had served the king personally. But then when the king calls out the other group for not feeding and clothing and welcoming, how do they reply? They say, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" And the king, he replies with the similar answer he gave to the righteous. Tells them that when they ignore the least of these, they ignore him. Jesus is right there with those in need, and yet everybody misses him. And when they miss Jesus, they miss two important promises. First, Jesus is always with and for those in greatest need. And second, we're able to encounter Jesus in more ways than we can ever imagine. So when you do those acts of service to others, are you looking for Jesus? Are you expecting to meet Jesus when you take time to care for others? We don't just do those things because we're supposed to. We care for others and we love others because in doing so, we're not only seeking to offer change and transformation, but because our lives might be changed and transformed as well when we meet Jesus and those that we care for. Jesus is right there with those we seek to serve. Oftentimes, just like the people in the scripture, though, we miss it. We become consumed or distracted by just getting work done, and we don't take time to notice that Jesus is at work. When we serve others, Jesus is there. We must take notice. Jesus is there because Jesus is always in the places and situations of greatest need. Jesus is especially present with those who are hungry or thirsty or sick or wandering or imprisoned. Why? Because our God has such great love for all his children that he refuses to allow anybody to face these situations on their own. And this means we just need to be looking not in places of success and abundance to meet Jesus, but in places of need, the needs of others and our own needs as well. Because God is there. So where are you looking for God? Are you noticing Jesus at work in places and situations of need? When you sit down to Thanksgiving this week, will your gratitude only be found in places of success and abundance? Or will you take time to be grateful for God's presence in your place of need and failure? Will you be grateful for the opportunity to serve others in times that you've encountered Christ? Will you give God thanks for showing up in your own situations of need? God shows up in the places of greatest need. God is present in our situations of greatest need. It's among the least of these where Jesus is. Need proof? Well, after all, we're approaching Christmas, where we celebrate that Jesus, God's own son, was born not to the rich, but to the poor, not in a palace, but in a manger. From his birth, Jesus hung out in places of greatest need. And that's where we're called to encounter Christ today, in places of need, and are serving others in need, and noticing God's presence and love and provision in our time of great need. Leo Tolstoy, author of works such as War and Peace, he writes also short stories, including one titled Papa Panov's Special Day. The story begins on Christmas Eve as Papa Panov, an elderly shoemaker, who after reading the Christmas story and deciding that he would give his most perfect pair of shoes to the baby Jesus, he has a dream in which Jesus tells him that tomorrow, on Christmas, he'll meet him, but he won't tell him who he is. So Papa Panov wakes up on Christmas morning excited to meet Jesus, but having no idea what he'll look like. So he spends the whole day watching carefully for him, while being sure that he is prepared to welcome Christ. As he waits, he invites in a street sweeper to have a cup of coffee and escape from the cold. Throughout the day, he begins to invite beggars in to stay warm. Finally, it's dinner time, and he's still waiting on Jesus. So he makes cabbage soup. At this point, I want to just read you the rest of the story. It says, someone was coming. The girl walked so slowly and quietly, hugging the walls of shops and houses, that it was a while before he noticed her. She looked very tired, and she was carrying something. As she drew nearer, he could see that it was a baby, wrapped in a thin shawl. There was much sadness in her face and in the pinched little face of the baby. The Papa Panov's heart went out to them. "Won't you come in?" he called, stepping outside to meet them. "You both need a warm seat by the fire and a rest." The young mother let him shepherd her indoors to the comfort of the armchair. She gave a big sigh of relief. "I'll warm some milk for the baby," Papa Panov said. "I've had children of my own. I can feed her for you." He took the milk from the stove and carefully fed the baby from the spoon, warming her tiny feet by the stove at the same time. "She needs shoes," the cobbler said. But the girl replied, "I can't afford shoes. I've got no husband to bring home money. I'm on my way to the next village to get work." A sudden thought flashed through Papa Panov's mind. He remembered the little shoes he looked at last night. But he had been keeping those shoes for Jesus. He looked again at the cold little feet and made up his mind. "Try these on her," he said, handing this baby and the shoes to the mother. The beautiful little shoes were a perfect fit. The girl smiled happily and the baby gurgled with pleasure. "You've been so kind to us," the girl said when she got up with her baby to go. "May all your Christmas wishes come true." But Papa Panov was beginning to wonder if his very special Christmas wish would come true. Perhaps he had missed his visitor. He looked anxiously up and down the street. There were plenty of people about, but they were all faces he recognized. They were neighbors going on to call on their family. They nodded and smiled and wished him Happy Christmas. There were beggars, and Papa Panov hurried indoors to fetch them hot soup and a generous hunk of bread, hurrying out again in case he missed the important stranger. All too soon, the winter dusk fell. When Papa Panov went to the door and strained his eyes, he could no longer make out the passersby. Most were home and indoors by now anyway. He walked slowly back to his room at last, put up the shutters, and sat down wearily in his chair. So it had just been a dream after all. Jesus had not come. Then all at once he knew he was no longer alone in the room. This was not a dream, for he was wide awake. At first he seemed to see before his eyes the long stream of people who had come to him that day. He again saw the old road sweeper, the young mother and her baby, and the beggars he had fed. As they passed, each whispered, "Didn't you see me, Papa Panov?" "Who are you?" he cried out, bewildered. Then another voice answered him. It was the voice from his dream, the voice of Jesus. "I was hungry and you fed me," he said. "I was naked and you clothed me. I was cold and you warmed me. I came to you today, and every one of those you helped and welcomed." There was all quiet, was still, only the sound of the big clock ticking. A great peace and happiness seemed to fill the room, overflowing Papa Panov's heart until he wanted to burst out singing and laughing and dancing with joy. "So he did come after all," was all that he said. Jesus showed up. Jesus was right there with those in need. Will you notice him? Will you give praise and thanksgiving to the God who cares and loves so deeply to be with all in their need? Are you looking for Christ? And where do you see him? When Jesus came and lived among us, showed us what it looked like to be with people in their need, so we can see Christ in our own encounters today. When that last night, when Jesus was with his disciples, he took bread and he gave thanks to God, and he broke bread and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body and it's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then later, when the supper was over, he took the cup and he gave thanks to God and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant. It's poured out for each and every one of you, that you might receive forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Eternal God, we ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, till Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.